You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jim, what are your thoughts on... We're trying to go back and just think of some of the... We think we're a great fan base in Cleveland. We think we've done a lot of great things. However... 95, throwing a parade for a team that didn't win the World Series. Does that pass muster for you?
No, probably not. Probably not on that one. I would probably vote against that one. I did like, though, when the Browns went to Ofer there a couple years ago, they had the parade for them. I enjoyed that.
Kenny, you hear that? He liked the 0-16
parade.
That was pretty funny.
When you were a general manager, what was the best thing a fan sent you? As a joke.
Well, you know what? I was talking about this the other day. In part of my tenure, I traded Scott Kazmir. Got a lot of grief for it, and I used to get baseball cards of Scott Kazmir in a Mets minor league uniform. I always thought that was funny. I know they were mad, but I always thought it was comical. So I guess that was probably the one that stands out the most.
Let me ask you another question about your interaction with fans as a GM. We had a GM here named Phil Savage, and he is really a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Really nice guy. And his tenure didn't work out, as a lot of general managers do, don't work out here in Cleveland with the Browns. And he got an email from a very angry fan, and out of nowhere, he just snapped and basically said, bleep you, go root for Buffalo.
He lost his mind.
How many times did you get correspondence from fans and you started to write a letter back and you go, nope, you know what? Forget it. We're going to move on here.
Well, you do have to have a thick skin in those positions, definitely in New York. You know, I mean, not only would you get letters, but, I mean, they let you know what they think of you when you're out at a restaurant or you know, we would have these minor league awards and they would introduce the general manager. And if you were doing a good job, you generally got – some cheers and you got some boos, but when you weren't doing a good job, the whole place would boo you. So you just had to go into that with that mindset and try to ignore it.
Jim Duquette, join us on the hotline. So you're following, obviously, Major League Baseball, but you're paying attention to the other sports as well, This is almost a Herculean effort to try to figure out when it's safe to get sports back and then how to get the logistics taken care of. Why is baseball right now seemingly the one that may not get back going at all?
I know it's a terrible look. I wish I had a better answer to you than the unreasonable sides and distrust between the two sides has grown over the last couple of years and even over the last couple of months. I think that's the main reason. You know, this has been building over the last two collective bargaining agreements where the owners really took advantage of, but definitely won the negotiations, and we've seen a really dramatic turn in terms of the revenues going more towards the owners making money, and free agency over the last few seasons has taken a huge hit, even though there's a couple guys making big money like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. But regardless, the majority of the players, I think, feel like the CBA did not work for them. So there's been, that light, and now you go into this negotiation, and it's been really bad. And by the way, it's a terrible look because, like you said, NBA, NHL, NFL, all likely to come back, and right now we're not even sure if Major League Baseball will.
What position is a general manager currently in right now where he has to be in contact with managers and maybe players, and obviously there's owners that they have to answer to?
Well, the spot that they're in, right now, it's like, okay, you're communicating with your players, and I've had a lot of conversation with players over the last couple of weeks, and there's a number of them that, hey, I'm getting ready. I need to get ready for the season just in case. And so that's what you're trying to do from the GM side with your players is stay in communication with them and try to motivate them, because there are guys that, like, geez, some of the uncertainty today, you hear some negativity, and they admitted to, geez, that affects how I work out, and I don't know if I should ramp it up. You know, that reminds them on that front. You have to, so you don't risk injury if we do play. You have to build up, you know, your pitch count. You know, obviously hitters got to get their reps. So there's that part of it from a GM side, and the communication with your coaches, you know, it's still a little bit limited right now because there's not a lot going on. But you're going to have to prepare your ballpark and your clubhouse and all of the areas around it for, you know, the safety measures that are in place. So there's a fair amount. It's mostly behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on.
Jim Duquette with us on the hotline. Not sure your relationship with current MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred. However, on the outside, someone like me looking in, it just seems like he is a weak leader, not able to coerce either ownership or the players' union to try to come to grips on something that actually works, and especially something that the fans are going to have an appetite for. Do you find it that way, or is he just being quiet behind the scenes, with optics, but behind the scenes he's doing a lot?
Well, I would say this. I've been critical because I think he has taken a really hardline stance. It's hard with the egos of ownership, the 30 of them, regardless of their situations. It seems like he's been able to do that and negotiate on their behalf. I don't care for the tactics that he tends to use, which are much more hardline than they are conciliatory, and I think he and his guys around him have inflamed some of the rhetoric and the negotiations in public. So that's the stuff that bothers me. They'll leak certain stuff out into the press that their side of things to make sure that, and usually it's tainted by the ownership side. So it's that to me I haven't cared for. You know, and he tried to do this with some of the rules, just implement them himself, and that just doesn't fly. He's not a real popular guy in a lot of circles. Having said that, I still think he'll be able to negotiate this. He's one of the few people that was part of the strike in 95 and understood the ramifications there and all of the kind of bumpiness that happened after that, and then, you know, the period of time that we've had since the strike where, you know, whether it's been contentious or not, we've still been able to play the game on the field. So I got to give him a little bit of credit there.
Do you think Scott Boras has too much power when it comes to the players' union? Is that going to be a problem?
You know, it doesn't seem like it, but he has more say than he maybe had in previous negotiations. And you know, the one thing that I want people to know, that he's not the only agent that's involved in the discussions. And you know, the big agents who have a lot of major league players, they should be involved. They're good negotiators, and they have a core group of major leaguers that, you know, can be influential in the process and help communicate, you know, the union's stance. So I think, you know, Boras, I think, is one of the best and fiercest negotiators. I had to deal with him a lot. It was no fun. At the end of the day, he's not trying to hold up the sport. I think he's trying to do what he feels is right for the players and represent, you know, his constituents. So, you know, I'm trying to give the balance to it. Did I like negotiating with him? Did I feel like he wasn't always truthful? Of course. Did I feel like he won most of the negotiations? Yes. But I think he's just doing what he's been asked to do on the union side, and it's been an important role, at least from most of the players' opinions.
I mean, you just mentioned the union. Jim, I'm not going to lie to you. I think I would hate it. I think it would be one of the biggest pains in the asses in history to try to negotiate with that guy.
Yes.
Considering it feels like he's the de facto leader of the union. Like, I know they have players' union presidents, but it's like every time that I see news, I don't see much of the presidency when it comes to unions. It comes to right. Scott Boras in that case.
Yeah, he has a lot to say for sure. You know, he has a lot of major. I think he had over 100 major league. That'll be over 100 major league players. Players on major league rosters last season, including injured list. So he has a huge influence on those type of guys, and that group of players are unified. You know, and are almost one voice. And it's through Scott's lens So, yeah, it does cause some issues, and he does have a bigger voice than most. But also, you know, the union, whether it was Tony Clark or Bruce Meyer, who's their chief labor negotiator and lawyer, you know, they asked him to get involved because of his ability to negotiate so well. So I know this from talking to a lot of people that are involved with it. There's a lot of action behind the scenes with more moderate voices, both agents, players, and owners. And that's why, even though there's, you know, this outside rhetoric, I still think there'll be some common ground and we'll see the sport return.
Jim Duquette with us on the show, MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM, former Major League Baseball general manager with the Mets and Orioles. If you were in charge of the Indians, say today they go, we got a deal, we're going to play 60 games.
Yeah.
If you're in charge of the Indians, Jim, what do you do with Francisco today?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult to, you know, so we'll start with the conversation of trading him, which is going to be difficult. I think we don't even know if there'll be a trade deadline. So that aspect of, I mean, today he's an Indian. He was there for the rest of the season. And to me, I think you make one more run at him to see if you can sign him. But I think with these new circumstances, with the way that the economy is and the lost revenue, you know, it was a tough thought in an outside, really small percentage chance that the Indians would be able to keep him before this pandemic, and now I think it makes it almost impossible. So I think you have to look at trading him this winter.
Do you think he wants to be in Cleveland?
I do. I believe him. I had a chance to talk to him. We were doing our spring training tour in Indians camp this spring, and we talked to him about it. And you know, he's a guy that I feel wears his emotions on his sleeve. I don't think he can hide them very well. And I really believe that this is all he's known. I think that's the tendency of a lot of players who grew up in this organization. The first choice is always to stay, and he's going to have to accept a lot less to stay an Indian. And maybe he would be willing to do that now with a lot more uncertainty on the free agent market, but it's just going to have to be so low comparatively to what he would get in the marketplace. I think it's just a long shot.
I'm guessing that, you know, these smaller market teams have already seen reports that, you know, they want to be made whole. They're worried about what it's going to look like. You've seen some of these finances or been privy to it. How do you think those finances play out in a place like Cleveland if there are no fans this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that it makes it in a lot of ways worse. I mean, I know that they're not, you know, certainly among the top 10 we know in season ticket holders or even in tickets sold by comparison. But it does impact teams. There's no denying it. I mean, whether it's 30% or 40% of your revenues that are tied to attendance, it's a lot. And I think the general feeling is, whether it's the Indians or even the industry as a whole, and this is why I side more with the players currently for what they're asking for, the owners are going to make up for their lost revenues in 2021 and 22 and 23. I mean, there's, okay, it's that, you know, if you had a business where you lost millions of dollars, well, you're going to make up for that and cut back moving forward. And it's going to affect the free agent market and every organization. You're going to see their payroll scale back. And I think that's what will happen there in Cleveland, too. You're going to see them, you know, they don't have a huge payroll anyway, but you'll see them make up their losses in their future.
80 or so games, and then what do you think about AB here to stay?
I like the idea of expanded playoffs. You know, I liked at least, I thought it was a, you know, some sort of conciliatory gesture from the players that, you know, that they would have, they offered the next 2 years. I think you'll see this beyond the next 2 years, the postseason with extra teams, with, 14 teams total. And I like that idea. I mean, you know, playoff baseball is always, I think, more entertaining. So, yeah, I like that overall, and I think that's what we'll do. I think that I guess the 82 games versus no games, I'll take it. I would rather have more, because I think it's more, I think, fair. The better teams have a more likely chance of winning, getting to the postseason. There's a lot of wild cards that can happen. Last year, if they actually played 50 games, which is what the major the owner's proposal was. I think last year at one point the San Francisco Giants, there was a 19 in a 50-game stretch. Like I don't want to see a postseason team that's not deserving get in because we had a very limited schedule.
Jim, we can't thank you enough for the time. All the very best. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks.
Jim Duquette joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He was fantastic. 216-578-0092.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.